Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, April 9th. I've been looking forward to this show for about 48 hours. This is going to be a great baseball show today. You know, we do baseball shows here in our program from time to time. In fact, we just did one last Sunday with Paul Greco talking about the 2010 season. But today we're going to go back, and we're going to go back to one of my favorite periods, the Milwaukee Brewers in 1970. And let's say hello to Tom Skybosch. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hi, Sylvia. How you doing? I bet your weather's a lot nicer than ours are down in Dallas.
Well, ours is very, very lovely today. It's actually a great day to play an afternoon baseball game. What about yours?
Yes. Well, actually, it's not too bad. It's in the 50s, and, you know, in Miller Park, it doesn't matter because we got the roof. And,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but I think it seems like about 70% of the time that roof is closed. But it's a beautiful facility, and the Brewers have a big weekend with the Cardinals coming to town. So it's a fun time. I always look forward to baseball season.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. We do primarily a political show, but every 3 months we do a baseball show, and hopefully you'll join us in future shows as we do them. But Tom and I go back to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. That's where we met. And we were friends back then. We used to, I think we met, Tom. We talked a little bit about this off the air, but I'm pretty sure we met at the school radio station. And then I remember it was so fun to go with you to the old county stadium and watch the Brewers, and it was so much fun. This would have been 72, 73, that time frame when we used to go to the park. But I remember that opening day in 1970. It was my first opening day. And it is still the one that I remember the most. And a lot of it has to do with everything that led to that opening day. But before we talk about that, Tom, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? When we got disconnected in the 70s, I know you went to work for the Brewers. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
After I worked for the Brewers, I was very, very fortunate. I went there in 1976. And so, you know, the first 3-4 years there, they weren't actually the first couple of 76, 77, they weren't that good. And then Harry Dalton took over in 78, and then they kind of took off. And, you know, I was fortunate to be there during the World Series years, and I have a championship ring. It's still one of my most prized possessions, a 1982 American League championship ring. And then I stayed with the Brewers through 94. I left them in 94. That was the year of the lockout, where the owners locked everybody out, and a bunch of us lost our jobs. And I went into professional speaking, and I traveled around the country. I worked with different seminar companies. I enjoyed that. But I have four kids, and, you know, my wife needed me back at home because it was a lot of traveling, and I fell into this job here. I work currently with, it's called Now Newspapers. We're owned by the Journal Sentinel, and we're weekly publications, and I cover, you know, two of our larger cities, Brookfield and Wauwatosa, and I cover prep sports now. So I still get to cover sports. I get to work with the kids, and I feel very blessed.
Oh, absolutely. That sounds like a lot of fun. Tom, you were talking about the Brewers, you know, in the late 70s. I was not in Milwaukee because I moved out. I moved to Maryland, actually, and I then was following the Orioles. But when you were talking about that Harry Dalton period, it reminded me of two names that came to mind. It was, of course, George Bamberger, who managed the Brewers during that time. And then that wonderful last game of the season in 1982, you may remember that, when the Brewers and the Orioles went down to the very last game, they were tied, and they had that great pitching duel of Jim Palmer and Don Sutton. Remember that?
And, yes, and it turned out it wasn't much of a duel, was it?
No, it was not much of a duel, as I recall. Here's the interesting connection, and I guess baseball fans can relate to this. But I was in 1982. I was actually living in Mexico City because there was a company, an American company, that sent me to Mexico City to work. So we used to get the ABC at that time. They had the ABC Sunday afternoon game. You may remember that.
Oh, sure.
And we used to get the games on TV. The ABC affiliate out of Houston or Dallas, they would pick that up in Mexico City. But that particular day, they didn't have the Orioles and the Brewers on. They had a game out of San Diego that was going on. So I had to tune in American Forces Radio to hear the game between the Brewers and the Orioles that day. And so I was listening to my little shortwave radio, listening to, I don't remember whether it was the Brewers, I think it was Merle, no, not I think it was the Orioles broadcast. Yeah, the Orioles broadcast that was going around the world in shortwave. But that's how I listened to that game. And it was kind of a tough game for me because I knew it was a big day for the Brewers, you know, winning their first division. But I was frankly also a big fan of the Orioles. So it was one of those days when I wasn't sure who to root for. But I'm glad that the Brewers won that day. It must have been quite a celebration in that clubhouse. I'm sure you remember that.
It was, and here was the ironic part. Like you asked me, I bet you remember that, and that was something you'll never forget. I was in Milwaukee because I had to get all the media stuff together and organize everything, and my assistant was in the Baltimore, and I actually had two suitcases packed because if we would have lost, it would have been so disappointing. I was going to take some time off, and we were going to go up north to my in-law's cottage, and in the other suitcase, I had all my suits and stuff because if we won, I was headed out to Anaheim. And unfortunately, the game was, they were winning 5-2 in the eighth. And then I'll never forget it. People to this day still say it was the key play. The Orioles had two men on base, and Joe Nolan, who was a backup catcher, hit a ball down the left field line. And if that ball falls in, it's going to be a whole new ball game. And Ben Ogilvie slid and made a sliding catch. And, he was left-handed, so, the glove's on his right hand, and he needed that as he slid across the foul line and caught the ball. And he went actually, if you remember, the wall's out. There's not a lot of foul territory in Baltimore. And he caught that ball and banged into the wall, for the third out of the inning. And it was just a huge play. And at that point, you had that good feeling you were going to win, while the Brewers then came up the bat and scored five runs, and it ended up being a 10-2 victory. So
that's exactly
right. It was exciting.
And I remember that play so much because I was listening to it on the radio. And
okay.
I had the game on TV. The San Diego game was on TV, or the Dodgers game, I think it was, against San Diego on TV because they were also involved in a pennant race. So we were getting the West Coast beat, I guess. And I remember listening to that play on the radio, and then just a few minutes later, they had the highlight on the ABC game. And you're right, Ogilvie made a great catch. That ball drops in, and you're exactly right. It's probably 5-4. And it's a whole different game, as you say. But eventually the Brewers did win, and they went on to play the Angels. And then I was rooting for the Brewers 100%. And that was pretty exciting, too, because they came down to Game 5. And wasn't Ogilvie also involved in winning that Game 5?
I don't even, the big hit in that game was Cooper.
Oh, that's right, Cecil Cooper. Yeah,
Cecil
you're right.
Cooper, yeah. The Brewers were losing 3-2, and Jimmy Gantner and Charlie Moore were on base, and Cecil Cooper took an outside pitch and lined it to left field, and they both scored for the 4-3 lead. And then another big play that happened right after that was a defensive move. Gorman Thomas was playing with a bad knee, and Harvey Keene had put in Marshall Edwards, who was this Marshall was this tiny little center fielder, just a wonderful kid. That was his one shot at glory. And Don Baylor came up the bat, and he just had a tremendous, tremendous series. And he hit a shot to left center that it looked like it was going to be out and tie the game. And Marshall Edwards made a leaping catch against the left center field wall, which Gorman would have never gotten to because of his bad knee. And when he caught that ball, at that point, you had a pretty good feeling that they were going to win. And,
yeah. No, you're exactly right. That one I did watch on TV down in Mexico City. We're talking to Tom Skybosch, an old friend of mine from Milwaukee, and we're sort of reminiscing Milwaukee Brewers baseball. All of this happened because we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the opening day in Milwaukee. And I want to get into a little bit of the story of that and kind of give you my story and then kind of get your story as well. But our family, of course, from Cuba, we came to the United States at the end of 64. So we missed pretty much the 64 season. By the time 65 rolled around, the Braves were leaving. I never had a chance to fall in love with the Braves like so many of my friends had. So I wasn't heartbroken necessarily when the Braves left, but I was angry that baseball had left Milwaukee. Then I became a Minnesota Twins fan in the late 60s. They had some great teams. But I was obviously rooting for the Milwaukee to get a team. First, we thought we were going to get, as I remember, the White Sox. There was some talk about the White Sox coming in, and then there was even talk about Charlie Finley moving the Kansas City team to Milwaukee. That would have been an interesting move, Tom, because that would have meant that those A's teams that won the World Series in the early 70s would have been playing in Milwaukee. That would have been interesting. And then there was also talk about, as I recall, in 69 when they had the expansion, there was talk about that too. But nothing happened. You know, we didn't get an expansion team, and I think we were all very disappointed. And then in 1970, in spring training, as I recall in spring training, all this talk about the Seattle Pilots coming to Milwaukee and then opening day. I mean, it seemed to happen so fast. But, you know, I skipped school with a bunch of my friends, and we went down to the stadium. It was the greatest. I mean, I still remember that day like it was yesterday. It was a horrible game, but I remember the moment so much. What are some of your recollections?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm going to take you back into the fall before that. There was talk already the fall before of 69, after the regular season, that the Pilots, you know, were struggling, and they didn't know if they were going to return because they had, you know, such terrible attendance, et cetera. And in one of my journalism classes, I don't know if it was history or journalism, there was a teacher there who just a wonderful – I used to hate him because he made me think. You know, he would be one of those guys that would ask the question, and your eyes would try to avoid the teacher. You didn't want him to see you. But he would call on you, and he would make you think. He was an outstanding teacher. His name was Jay Sykes. And he knew I was a baseball fan. And there was a little article in the journal that fall, you know, like 3 or 4 inches, saying, you know, just an AP article saying that the Pilots might be, you know, going bankrupt, and there's a chance that, you know, they might end up moving. And he told me, he said, Skybosh, I want you to just follow this story, you know, follow it, and maybe once a month give us a report on what was going on. So, you know, back then, you know, there wasn't really an internet or anything, but, you know, I read as much as I could, and it ends up that, you know, they always tell the story, and it's legendary, that when they left spring training, and, you know, a couple years later, I got to meet the people that were involved in this, but Tommy Ferguson was the traveling secretary. And they literally told him, you know, take the truck north, and when you get to Denver, call us, and we'll tell you whether to turn left or right. And sure enough, it was April 1st, and the Brewers were awarded to Milwaukee. The Pilots were awarded to Milwaukee. They were the Pilots, obviously, at the time. And Bud Selig in bankruptcy court. And they literally had to rip the, you know, like it said, Pilots or Seattle off the front of the jersey and sew on Milwaukee, because they had no time back then to get new uniforms or anything. So they had to take the uniforms they had and, you know, put the new lettering on them. But, you know, I'll never forget it. And disappointing for me, Sil, I couldn't go to the first game because I had a college professor whose name I can't recall. Gross, his name is, now that I think about it. And he was a TV guy. He taught television classes. He hated sports. And he said anybody that would go to the Milwaukee Brewers game would automatically flunk the class. They said if you were not in class the next day, you would automatically flunk the class. So, you know, it killed me to miss it, but I went the next day and I saw him win their first game. So,
well, what's interesting is that first, you know, when it was announced that the Brewers were coming, because I remember during spring training that there was the radio station we would listen to. It was a top 40 radio station. I think it was WOKY. And you remember that station. Their sports announcer would do the sports. This is like more like at the end of spring training. He would say, well, the score from wherever they were was the Seattle Pilots, Milwaukee Brewers 2, and that's how he would do the broadcast. I don't remember who was the guy's name, but he had a great style in doing that. And so we were, you know, we were pretty certain that it was going to happen, but you never know. I mean, there were so many heartbreaks before. We figured, you know, it could fall apart again or go to another city. I don't know if any other city was looking for the team. But help me a little bit, because I remember the lineup. I remember some of the names. You know, Mike Egan at first base. Tommy Harper was playing second. Ted Kubiak at short. Max Alvis at third base. Danny Walton in left field, Russ Snyder in center field. By the way, I didn't memorize all of this. I did a little research.
I was going to say, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, Steve Hoadley. Remember him in right field?
Yeah,
Steve
Hoadley.
And Gary McNerney. Now, Steve Hoadley was the guy that used to be known as Space Hoadley because he was kind of a freak.
Right.
Before it was popular to be a freak, I guess. But anyway, that was the team. Now, I know Mike Hegan did stay in Milwaukee, but did any of those other guys have any connection, or are they coming back for the?
They got a guy by the name of Ken Sanders who became he won the Fireman of the Year award
that year. That's
And Kenny still lives in Milwaukee. He has a real estate company, and he made his home here.
Well, and they had some very good young pitchers in that team. I mean, Marty Patton, who went on to have some good years with the Red Sox. Later, he was traded to the Red Sox. What was the name? Skip Lockwood was another one.
Skip Lockwood was there,
I remember.
Yeah.
And then they had a really good young right-hander who had some success.
Bill
later.
Parsons?
Bill Parsons, yeah, the tall fellow. Kind
big
of a tall
guy, right.
Yeah,
right.
Big tall guy who had a great season. But I think, as I remember going to the games, you know, during the summer, it was Danny Walton who became the fan favorite.
Yeah.
And then remember they had that big day in August where Bernie Brewer was up on the scoreboard?
Right.
And they brought him down. I was at that game. I was sitting in the
left field. Were you there when he came down, eh?
Absolutely. That was a Sunday afternoon game. And I remember that game. I guess the deal was they had to sell 40,000 tickets or something to bring him down. But I was at that game. It was a Sunday afternoon. I just have so many fond memories of that year. The whole idea that, you know, when you love baseball, the idea that you can go to a ballpark and watch a game, compensates for the fact that the team was not very good. It was not a good team. And, it, you know, it was an expansion team, like most expansion teams back then. But, you know, they did have, I think the Brewers, to their credit, did put together a pretty good farm system that, you know, later on produced, Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, Gorman Thomas. Who was the fellow who played second base? I forgot his name.
Jimmy Gantner.
That's right. Jimmy Gantner, he was pretty good player, too. So, I mean, they made some good trades when they got Cecil Cooper. How did they get Ben Ogilvie? How did they get him?
They traded a pitcher, Jim Slayton, for him.
Oh, okay.
And here's the irony of that. They traded Slayton for Ogilvie, and then the next year Slayton was a free agent, and they signed him back.
Yeah, that's
right. So they basically got him for nothing.
Well, remember Bobby Peña?
Oh, sure, second baseman. Roberto.
Yeah, Roberto Peña, yeah. I remember him.
I remember him.
Character.
He was batting 197, and he was batting third in the order. In the early.
Yes, and Johnny Briggs was another name that
sure.
comes to my mind. Of course, the one player that was kind of the big star they had was Davey May. Who had a really good season. And here's another one. Here's another name that, now this is not from 1970. This is a little bit later. But remember Daryl Porter?
Oh, sure.
The catcher? I just read recently that he passed away in Oklahoma City. He was I guess the Brewers' number one draft choice, if I recall, right? He was the big
right,
player
yeah.
they drafted, yeah.
Yeah, and he ended up, unfortunately for him, he got involved with cocaine, you know, which that was way before, you know, those type of drugs were even, you know, thought about. And but he got involved in cocaine, and that really hurt his career. And then the good news was he straightened his life out, and we ended up trading him to Kansas City for Jamie Quirk, Bob McClure, and Jim Colburn. And,
oh,
20
game
No,
winner,
not Jim
right?
Colburn. I'm sorry. Jamie Quirk, Bob McClure, and Jim Wolford. And we traded him and Jim Colburn to Kansas City. And
now,
Daryl
Porter had some good years in Kansas City, though, because he played
yes, he did.
in some of those teams.
And then he became he was also involved indirectly with the Brewers in 1980. In the winter of 1980, the Cardinals signed him. And when the Cardinals signed Daryl Porter, they had a catcher by the name of Ted Simmons. And, you know.
He was good.
And Ted Simmons said, well, I'm not going to play first base. Because they just got rid of Keith Hernandez, who was a Gold Glover. And so as a result, Ted Simmons became available. And he was in 1980, he came to that huge trade that really set the Brewers up for the World Series. He was in a trade with the Cardinals where the Brewers got Rolly Fingers, Ted Simmons, and Pete Vukovich.
That's right.
So Porter kind of came back and, you know, played another role because with them signing Porter, that forced them to trade Simmons.
Interesting. Well, I tell you what, why don't you, we've got a few minutes left, why don't you bring us up to date? Now, I was very happy to see the Brewers get into the wild card a couple of years ago. I was really rooting for them in that series. Unfortunately, I guess they lost three straight to Philadelphia, as I recall. But tell
no,
me about the Brewers.
They did win one.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. That's good. I thought it was a sweep. But tell me about the Brewers this year, because when I did my baseball show with Paul Greco last Sunday night, he's picking the Brewers to be the wild card. I mean, tell me about the 2010 team.
Well, it's going to be, you know, they still got the boppers, but it's going to be hopefully a much faster team. You know, they have a new shortstop in Escobar, Alcides Escobar, who last year, I think at AAA, stole 40 bases, and he's just a defensive, outstanding defensive player. But they have him in the lineup. They made a trade. They traded J.J. Hardy, their shortstop, for Carlos Gomez. And, you know, Gomez was one of the Mets' top prospects who was traded to Minnesota. It didn't work out. And, you know, you've run into these over the years, Silvio, these kids that are – I mean, he's a big kid. He's like 6'3", 220. But he's tremendously fast. And, you know, they've been trying to, you know, get it into his head that, you know, you hit the ball on the ground. Don't be afraid to bunt because he's so fast. A routine grounder to short, he could beat out for a hit. And he got into the problem with Minnesota and the Mets where he just, you know, he struck out too much or he had too many fly balls because he wanted to hit homers. And right now they got him batting second, and, you know, it's only three games into the season, but so far he looks fine. But they're going to have – it's going to be more of a running team than they had in the past. And the key to the two off-season signings, you know, everybody knew that John Lackey was going to be the number one, you know, free agent for pitching. But the number two guy, Randy Wolf, ended up signing with Milwaukee. You know, he pitched for the Dodgers last year. So now they have, you know, Vonny Gallardo, who just signed a five-year deal, and they got Randy Wolf. They also signed Doug Davis, who pitched for them a couple years ago, to give them three veterans. And so the key to them is going to be really their pitching.
I
think they should compete. You know, whether they, you know, make the wild card, I don't know about that. But, you know, the other thing about everybody talks about the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are a wonderful team, and they got two great pitchers. But I just don't see a lot behind those two great pitchers, and it's a long season. So
yeah, you're right.
You know, it could be interesting. If you know, the key to any baseball season is health, if people stay healthy. But they should be a fun team to watch.
Now, two of those three pitchers you mentioned, Doug Davis, of course, he came up as a Ranger about 10 years ago, and
right?
I don't, you know, we traded him, and that's been one.
Yeah,
of those
but you traded him. You traded him to us.
That's right. And
yeah,
then,
yeah, because he.
The first one, Gallardo, I think he's from Fort Worth. He was a very successful high school pitcher here in the area. I'm pretty sure I'm thinking about the same guy, a young right-hander, right? He was I believe he was a very successful – I mean, it's too much of a coincidence with the name. He was a very successful high school pitcher here in the area. But the one thing about the Brewers, tell me about Miller Park, because I obviously have never been there. I remember County Stadium. I used to like County Stadium, actually. I thought it was a very nice park. But tell me about Miller Park. Tell me about – you got a couple of minutes. Tell me about Miller Park. What's your reaction to the park?
It is just a beautiful facility, and I'm very envious. I wish I could have lived there or worked there. You know, with County Stadium, a lot of people said what you just said. You know, they would go into the stadium and sit down and look at a game and say, oh, what a beautiful facility. Well, it was to sit in it and watch a game. But it didn't have, you know, it was so outdated. You remember 1953 is when they put it together.
That's right.
And there were just so many things going wrong with it that people couldn't see. And so it was time for it to go. And it was a wonderful park, a lot of great memories. But, you know, Miller Park is just a fantastic park. You know, the whole idea of having the, you know, the roof on it, I mean, in this city, in this climate, is just, you know, unbelievable and very important.
Absolutely. One quick question, Tom, because we're running out of time, but just a quick
sure.
question. What was it like to go from an American League city? Of course, the Braves were originally in the National League, and the whole city of Milwaukee was very National League, as I recall, back then. But what was it like when you went from the American League to the National League when you know that adjustment was made, I guess, in the late 90s, and all of a sudden those old names began to come back, you know, the Dodgers and even the Braves and the Cardinals and maybe some of those old rivalries that Milwaukee used to have. What was that like for you?
Well,
was that a lot of fun?
I think the key is, you know, the age of the person that you'd ask. Like in my case – it was great because, I mean, I grew up with the Braves. You know, When the Braves came here, I was 4 years old, but I, you know, as I got older, I started following them, became a big Braves fan. I remember listening to the games on the radio and getting all upset if they would lose, you know, like I remember staying up late at night when they were on the West Coast. And so the Braves were my team. I mean, that was the team I followed growing up as a kid. And so that was kind of nice. I mean, I looked forward to it. I mean, because we had been in the American League for so long, I look forward to, you know, seeing National League ball again on that end of it. So so it was exciting. You got to see different teams again. And you got to remember, I wasn't your average person because I went to all the different American League cities over the years. So I had probably got more of my fill of the American League than the average fan.
Yeah,
so I look forward to it, to see the, you know, new faces, new cities,
new uniforms and all that, because
yeah,
I remember,
yeah,
I remember talking to the fans, you know, like our parents' age back then. They were saying, oh, come on, National League, we're National League fans. And I think there was a certain adjustment for the fans there to go from a National League city that Milwaukee had been in so successful for many years to go into an American League city. I think that was an adjustment, but I was curious to get your feedback. But Tom, we're out of time, but I just want to tell you that for me personally, this was a lot of fun for you to help me relive this wonderful moment of our youth. And I just, now that we've been reconnected again, thanks to the internet, I'll make sure you join us on our future baseball shows. I think you'll enjoy that a great deal.
No, that's wonderful. Let's keep in touch.
Let's do that. Tom Skybosch in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So much fun to talk to you again. Have a wonderful day in my old hometown of Milwaukee. I'll call it that. A city that I've always loved, the city of Milwaukee. Talk to you later, Tom.
You take care.
All right. Let's take a little break, and we will be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and guys, I hope you had as much fun listening to that as I had talking to Tom Skybosch. Tom and I used to go to baseball games in the Old County Stadium, and, you know, as often happens with your school friends, you get disconnected, but I was able through the internet to make contact with him, and I'm so happy that he connected, and now I've got my whole friends connected again. But we used to go to the Old County Stadium, and we had so much fun watching baseball there, and I just have wonderful memories of that time period. And as I wrote in my blog, you know, I've been to many, many opening days. In fact, I went to a couple in Milwaukee after that, and I went to several in Baltimore when I lived there and I was going to college there. And here in Texas, of course, I've been to many. But I will always remember that opening day as the greatest day, my greatest baseball day, I guess, other than watching a couple of World Series games in Baltimore. But as clearly, as a young fan, madly in love with baseball and so happy to see baseball back in Milwaukee, because I know how much we had been hoping for baseball in Milwaukee. I mean, all my friends were talking about it, and I would hear their stories about the Braves, and it was so much fun to see baseball back. We're going to get back into politics on Sunday night and on Tuesday afternoon, and we've got a lot to talk about. Justice Stevens retiring today, Congressman Stupak in Michigan retiring today, so we'll get into those topics on Sunday night when we get back to politics. But once again, our thanks to Tom Skybosch for joining us today from Milwaukee. Everybody have a great weekend, and we will talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, saying goodbye.